Ephesians 1. Well, Paul starts by wanting to get the Ephesians really grateful and really thankful, and he does so by reminding them of God's huge grace to them. Verse 5, having foreordained us to adoption as sons. So then, we have been adopted. Now, that's an amazing idea, because an adopted child in Greek and Roman and Jewish understanding of the time could never be disowned by the adopters, by the parents. The parents could disown their own natural son, but not their adopted son. Of course, that adopted son could, you know, cut the ties that bind and walk away, but they could never disown that child once they had adopted it. So this is an incredibly encouraging idea, that we have been chosen, foreordained, as he says, we have been adopted. And the only way that we will not be in the kingdom is if we consciously cut the ties that bind. Now, you and I want to be in the kingdom. The problem is that we realise we've been called, but we're weak. That's our problem. Not that we want to cut the ties that bind. Not that we want to say, I don't want anything to do with you, God or Jesus. We're just weak. Well, I'm not saying that that weakness is okay, but do you see the huge encouragement of this metaphor? That he is not going to break his side of it. We can break our side, we can walk away. But, as I say, it's not that we want to do that, we're simply weak, that's our problem. But he is not going to do it. He is not going to break off with us. That is the huge encouragement of the idea of adoption. And so he says in verse 6 that all this is to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us. So he talks about how we've been adopted and how this was foreordained or predestined, and says that we should praise the glory of his grace. That's the idea. Now, the idea of predestination or being foreordained, marked off ahead of time, this also is an example of grace. It's not that you and I were searching for the truth of the Bible and we found it, ticked a load of boxes, and then suddenly God was interested in us. Before we were born, before anything, God knew us and God decided that he would have us. Now, this is his grace. And although, of course, searching for correct interpretation of the Bible is absolutely part and parcel of relationship with God. If God has spoken, the task of interpreting then becomes critical, and that involves, to some degree, sorting out what is error and sorting out what is true. Although that is so, it also shows that it is also true that God is the one who chose us well before that. That was of his grace. His calling of us was not a reward for figuring out a few things from the Bible. He did that while we were yet sinners. Again, God commends his love to us, Paul says in Romans, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, this idea of adoption is used elsewhere. And again, when he uses it in Romans 8, he also speaks of it in connection with predestination. And he says there that we receive the spirit of adoption so that we can become God's very own children. So to make us truly his children, having been adopted, we are given the Holy Spirit, which is the power to bring us into the true family likeness. And again, this idea is found in Galatians 4. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. So the arena of operation of the Holy Spirit is in the human heart. Sure, there were miraculous manifestations of that, proof of that, in visible terms in the first century. And those visible manifestations are not around in our age. But the essence of the work of the Holy Spirit is just as critical today as it was then. that God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we might truly call him Abba, Daddy, Father. That is, that we are as his very own children, that the adoption is not simply something that's done later on, and yeah, okay, it's just a case of taking on a family name, but that because that has been done, Romans 8, we are given the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the family spirit, that we in our very heart might become like them, like the new family, so that really we are, by absolute identity, self-identity, part of that family and not part of any other. And again here in Ephesians 1, you see the idea of the Holy Spirit also figures, although it's a little bit later on in the verse, in the chapter, verse 13, after that we believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And 2 Corinthians talks about this as well, that we are given this Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee, as the deposit that guarantees that really we are part of the family, that really we are going to be saved. So it's a wonderful thing. And the whole idea of it, as he keeps saying here, is to the praise of the glory of his grace, because this is absolute grace. The link between predestination and grace, which he keeps bringing out here, we are foreordained to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he lavished on us. He's so generous. This is also what you get in Romans 8, where Paul is saying there that the very fact that there is predestination, that there was some choosing of us right from the beginning, that this is evidence of God's grace. He doesn't just start writing about predestination and calling and election and all that, just sort of out of the blue. His whole point is that we are saved by grace and not by works. And he cites predestination as the parade example of that. The fact that God chose us from the beginning, before we had done good or evil, as it was in the case of Jacob and Esau, and not according to our works, not according to whether we were good people or whatever, but by pure grace. And those who were born into believing families perhaps see that clearer, or should see that clearer than anybody, that the statistical chances of being born into a family of Christian believers, when you look at the spectrum of history and vast numbers of people who were born into unbelieving families and therefore never heard the message, yeah, the statistical chances are pretty slim. But that shows, again, God's absolute grace, how he planned all this from the very beginning. And the result of that, as I say, is to praise the glory of his grace. And yet he's going to go on to say that on that basis, we likewise need to live lives of grace. If he has lavished on us, as we read here, his grace, well, that is absolutely got to be programmatic for how you treat people in the world, for how you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ, for your whole worldview, for your whole psychology, your whole outlook, your whole focus of your heart is influenced by that. And of course, your actions, your works will be influenced likewise. And that is what the rest of the letter is going to tell us about.